Coming up on Packers Today, stinging from a Monday night letdown and in need of a win, look for the San Diego Chargers to call on their veterans to try and right the ship against Green Bay.
Going end zone, looking for Gates. Got it! Touchdown, San Diego!
At 5-0, the Packers enter this week's matchup looking to maintain their edge on defense and recapture it on offense.
I think it's going to take being more efficient in the passing game and challenging some people down the field a little bit more.
The reigning league MVP calling for more of himself. I don't know about you, but I like the sound of that. Larry and I tackle Packers and Chargers next on Packers Today.
A lot of people in our locker room that have never played against the San Diego Chargers. This is a big matchup for us.
We're focused on this week, getting this win, and hopefully going 6-0.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Packers Today, presented by Verizon. I'm Lauren Majera, joined by Larry McCarron. A lot of talk in the media this week has been about getting to the bye and getting players healthy during the bye. But sensing a possible potential for distraction, Coach McCarthy quickly shifted focus.
We're all aware of the bye week, and that was touched on briefly, but frankly, I don't want to hear about the bye week. I want to hear about airplane reservations and all that nonsense. So we're focused on the Chargers.
Hey, I can appreciate that because it feels like the last day of school, but let's not forget, everyone still has to pass their finals.
Honestly, Lauren, I don't think the Packers are going to have trouble with that distraction thing. They are a very mature football team. The leadership in the locker room gets it. I would be shocked if they start summer vacation a day early.
And one of the hot topics this week among the fans and the media is that the Packers haven't been lighting up the scoreboard the last couple of weeks. Now, when asked about how to get the running game and the offense back on track, no surprise here, Aaron Rodgers put the pressure on his own shoulders.
I think it's going to take being more efficient in the passing game and challenging some people down the field a little bit more. I think we need to play a little faster this week and get set a little quicker and pick up the tempo a little bit more. We've been kind of crawling a little bit. We got to get our plays up to 65-70 again.
So play faster and challenge the Chargers on the outside. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me too, Lauren, but I'll tell you what, we're spoiled. Anytime the Green Bay Packers do not light up the scoreboard, we hit the panic button. Jordy Nelson is hurt. We can't stretch the field. What's wrong with the running game? We can't do that anymore. But I'll give you a little football factoid. In 2013, the Green Bay Packers were without Aaron Rodgers, the best player in the National Football League, for basically half a season, and they still finished third offensively. We've got some pretty smart cookies up on the third floor that'll get this thing figured out.
I agree with you. Now, for those of you concerned that the Packers haven't made enough big plays, don't forget, the Packers are second in the NFL with 13 pass plays of 25 yards or more, and they're tied for fourth in the league in touchdowns of 20-plus yards. Not to mention, they are 5-0.
The most important stat of all.
Because of injuries, the Packers haven't been afforded the opportunity to play with their full complement of receivers, but the silver lining through it all has been the development of rookie Ty Montgomery.
Now, Lauren, stay with me on this. Do you remember the Olivia Newton-John song, Let's Get Physical?
Now, I was born in the mid-80s, but I do love that song.
Well, Ty Montgomery was belting it out loud and strong against the St. Louis Rams.
Check it out. Montgomery makes a catch, but we're talking the finish. Hey, Ram, please take your seat. The show's about to start.
Ty, it looked like you ate your Wheaties last Sunday morning, did you?
I had a hearty breakfast, yeah. I had a hearty breakfast. I'm not complaining.
Montgomery just getting started. He's got missile lock on another Ram and absolutely splatters him. Wow! We got to see that again. And the second verse is every bit as physical as the first.
Ty, I played for 12 years. It was my job to block. I never had a block as good as that one. You are my new hero.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's what my job entails, and you gain your teammates' trust that way. And, you know, whether I'm scoring touchdowns or the running back scoring touchdowns, there's points on the board, and that means close to a victory for us.
Montgomery's rendition of Let's Get Physical winds up with an extreme facial. And once again, there's a Ram left on the ground wondering what hit him.
Ty, how important is it to bring a physical element to your game?
I think it's very important. I don't have the 6'2", the 6'4" height that a lot of other receivers have, so I got to have some other tools in my bag. And, you know, I take pride in being able to be, you know, a physical, strong, powerful runner, you know, after the catch.
Let's get physical. Did you see that block by Ty Montgomery?
Very physical.
Great stuff.
Very tough. Speaking of tough guys, I know a lot of people are really pushing through pain this week. David Bakhtiari told me that everyone plays banged up. It's the nature of the game. It's more of a who's the least hurt and can still be competitive. Is that where this team is right now, just kind of pushing through and waiting for that week off?
Well, Lauren, all I can tell you is this, that in the NFL, you're not a hero for playing hurt. You're a hero for playing hurt and well. And a great example of that is Randall Cobb. He has been hurt with that shoulder since game one, and he has gone out there. I've seen him in practice and games, wince in pain, but he has played well. That's the kind of guys you need on your football team.
I know Coach McCarthy and players in the locker room have been saying how much they appreciate that. Is that kind of the same boat that TJ Lang is in? Because he's hurt, but he's going to play.
Well, TJ himself said this week that, yeah, I'm going to play, but I got to play well.
Still to come on Packers Today, here come the Chargers.
Bell, stutter step, reaching for the goal line, plunging. Did he get there? They say yes! Touchdown, and the Steelers win!
At 2-3, San Diego comes to town after a last-second loss to the Steelers. What's in store for the Packers? Larry and I break it down for you next. Plus,
you know, go out there and get 4 turnovers. It doesn't happen every game, especially set up a score or scoring. That was huge.
Coming up, the Packers' defense is among the league's best. Packers safety Micah Hyde provides an inside look at what makes them so good.
Welcome back. That was a look at the uniforms the Packers will wear this afternoon against the Chargers. The jersey is a recreation of the uniform the team wore from 1927 to 1948. Now, it's worth mentioning the Packers are 7-3 when wearing their alternate third jersey, including winning their last 4 games. So what awaits the Packers in those historic unis? Here's Larry with this week's scouting report presented by the Better Business Bureau.
One of the challenges the Chargers present is the fact that they are the Chargers, a team the Packers have not played since 2011.
That's an extra little challenge, but as far as the game plan and the film review, we should be looking at enough film to understand who we're playing and what they like to do.
Which is putting the game in the hands of Phillip Rivers, who may not rank as a great quarterback, but he is certainly a good one.
Most of his plays are checks at the line of scrimmage, so he obviously knows what he sees out there, and it just requires us to be a little more patient as far as our disguises and what we're trying to show out there.
Statistically, Keenan Allen is Rivers' favorite target, but realistically, it's Antonio Gates.
Rivers, with time, going end zone, looking for Gates. Got it! Touchdown, San Diego! Welcome back, old man!
Just back from a 4-game suspension, the ageless tight end had 9 catches and 2 touchdowns against the Steelers.
You could just tell he's a veteran, savvy guy. You know, he knows his stuff. He knows what kind of techniques the defense would like to play on him. And, he's real effective.
An offensive line injured beyond recognition has limited Melvin Gordon's numbers to date. But the former Badger is still a major threat, and the Chargers do get him the ball in a variety of ways.
They're using him to his strengths. He's a good open field runner, great vision, cuts and things like that. It's another big challenge for our run defense.
Defensively, not many household names, but linebacker Melvin Ingram may be one in the making.
Ingram jumps on him and wrestles him down. Melvin Ingram, quick as a cat.
Run or pass, he'll show up if you don't get him blocked. Overall, it's a middle-of-the-pack group, and it'll be facing a Packer offense looking to get back on track.
I feel like we've definitely been out of our rhythm a little bit the past 2 weeks. But really, I mean, we're just a couple plays away in both games. We're not that far off. We just got to do a couple little things and we'll be just fine.
The Chargers are really playing complementary football on essentially both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they've got a high-powered offense, ranked third in the league yardage-wise, and they've got a defense that excels on third down, allowing about a 33% conversion rate. So it goes well. It goes hand in hand. Defense gets the ball back, gives it to a high-powered offense.
Well, I want to know what your expert eyes are looking for. What kind of head-to-head matchups are you going to see for today?
I mentioned that injured San Diego offensive line. Here's how bad it got in their last game. The right tackle, during the game, right tackle goes to left tackle. Left guard goes to right tackle, bringing a new left guard. Then later on, the new right tackle goes to right guard, bringing a new right tackle, and they change the left guard. So this offensive line that's been injured beyond recognition is facing a Packer pass rush that's number two in the league with 20 sacks and countless other hits on the quarterback. That seems like a critical matchup to me.
Up next, when a defense racks up these...
Back to throw, nowhere to go, Horn sack.
They tend to create these.
It's deflected and intercepted in the end zone.
When we return, Packers defensive back Micah Hyde takes you inside the Packers defense.
I definitely would have wanted to be a quarterback to play against those guys.
And later in Alumni Spotlight, the play that ignited the greatest player fan tradition in all of sports. Packers Today is back after this timeout. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Through five games, the Green Bay Packers have arguably one of the best defenses in the league. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to sit down with defensive back Micah Hyde to get his take on the defense's fast start to the season.
Foles pulls back into pressure immediately, and he's hit him sack. Almost beat the snap to the quarterback, the playmaker.
In 5 weeks, the Packers defense has accumulated 20 total sacks. That's second most in the league. Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers contributing with 4.5 each.
Clay's a guy, you can put him anywhere. You could put him, you know, in the secondary, and he's going to go out there and make plays. Clay's a playmaker, and it's good that, you know, somebody of his caliber, for known being an outside linebacker, just rushing the quarterback, is, you know, putting his pride aside, stepping inside and helping out our defense. We all appreciate, you know, what he's been able to do.
It's not just Matthews and Peppers headlining this defense. Three other players have two or more sacks.
We talk about pressuring the quarterback, you know, getting him out the pocket, making him force throws that, you know, obviously they wouldn't do if they had a bunch of time inside the pocket.
Following these guidelines leads to success in the secondary. When the quarterback is forced out of the pocket, it rains interceptions on the DBs. Micah tallying his third career pick last Sunday.
Intercepted by Micah Hyde!
The quarterback had, you know, guys in his face. I think Pep, you know, walked the tackle back into his face, and from there, forced him to make a bad throw, and I was right there to catch it.
Add three other interceptions, including a pick six in Sunday's game, and the Packers have a season total of 8, the second most in the league.
We take a little pride in getting those turnovers and we want to, you know, lead the league in turnovers. That's something that we, you know, come in April and we talk about. So getting those four turnovers, that was huge.
Turnovers directly impact an opponent's quarterback rating. The Packers' defense, second best in the league at 62.8. And on the flip side, Aaron Rodgers' rating, 117.
A-Rod is the best quarterback in the league, and he keeps his quarterback rating high, and we have another guy that we're playing against that we keep his low. Yeah, it's a higher chance of winning the game. So we talk about that a lot. Getting pressure, getting turnovers like that is big on the opposing quarterback rating.
Keeping the opposing quarterback rating low is a teaching point influenced by head coach Mike McCarthy, who's working to give the defense more of an offensive mindset.
He'll come in and he'll talk about opposing quarterbacks, their signals, their reads, their adjustments, stuff like that against our defense. It gives us a bigger picture of what, you know, teams will try to do against our defense.
But no defense can be complete without the guys in the trenches.
Looking downfield, being pressured, hit and sacked. Mike Daniels first to the ball.
Micah recognizes this is where success starts.
These guys, you know, they're working into that quarterback, and it's impressive to see. Sometimes I'm in the middle of the field, and I have no work, so I just sit there and watch them just get to the quarterback, and it's just like, geez, these dudes are monsters. But I definitely wouldn't want to be a quarterback to play against those guys.
To make a defense really good, each and every guy has to really buy into the system and do their job. And it really seems to be what kind of a guy Micah is.
You know, we were talking about him during the radio broadcast during the Rams game, and it came to this. Micah Hyde is a jack of all trades and a master of darn near all of them. This season, he went in there as the nickelback. Morgan Burnett gets hurt. He seamlessly goes to safety. And then through the course of a game, when they go to dime, he returns to that role as a nickelback, playing up in the slot. Mike McCarthy says, Micah Hyde, he's just a football player, and he is in every sense of the word.
Now I asked Micah what he thinks is the most fun part about football, and he kind of surprised me with his answer. I thought he was going to say grabbing interceptions, but he said returning a punt. And he said it's a great momentum changer, and he thinks it's really fun to be able to score in special teams.
I think it's such a comfort for the Packers to have Micah Hyde fielding punts because he catches the ball so naturally. And talk about a guy who excels at his craft. Three touchdown returns in the past two seasons. Micah Hyde can be on anybody's team.
Let's hope we can see that kind of performance from him today.
I'm all for it.
When we return, a tradition unlike any other.
And a Lambo leap to the south end zone stands.
Next, an alumni spotlight, the originator. Leroy Butler recalls the moments that led to the very first Lambo leap. Thanks for watching Packers Today. We'll be right back.
I was one of these young, quirky guys, and I would dance if I made a big play. And I remember when I hit the running back.
Knocked out of the 38-yard line.
I just saw the ball just kind of scatter, and Reggie picked it up. For some reason, he looked back at me, and I ran, and he louded it to me.
It is a touchdown for Leroy Butler. Holy cow!
When I was running down there, I said, man, I got to do something cool right here. Something just popped in my head. Why don't you just jump up there? After that, fans were like, we're getting all these letters. What should we call it? What happened? Next thing you know, they decide on Lambeau Leap. They want to be in the north and south end zone, and you get a chance to catch one of your favorite players. If the Lambeau Leap is going on, the Packers are winning. So it's a winning tradition. I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Alumni Spotlight, built by Tundraland. Now, Leroy played 12 years with the Packers and was inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame in 2007. Larry, what do you remember about the way Leroy approached the game?
To be honest, Lauren, I don't know that much about his approach. I know how he played it, and he played it so well. He was a member of great, great defenses, and yet he was one of those guys all the opponents had to know where he was at. He had that kind of an impact on a game.
And wrapping up here today, I think the Chargers offense has the ability to put up points, but not necessarily with the way the Packers defense has been playing. What do you think it's going to take for the Packers to get past the Chargers so they can go into the bye week and just rest easy?
You know, the Chargers are 2-3 for a reason, and I just don't see how, despite the fact that they can gain yards, I don't see how a cobbled together offensive line can contend with a Packer defense that's playing lights out. I just don't see that matchup working out in San Diego's favor.
All right, thank you. When the game ends, make sure to check out Packers.com for locker room reports, live press conferences, and Larry's one-on-one with head coach Mike McCarthy. All of that, plus the game rewind. For Larry McCarron, I'm Lauren Majera. Thank you for watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Go Pack, go, and get loud, Lambo.